ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नष्टप्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी. Today we're reading from Canto 8, Chapter 2, Text 32. Namam ime gyataya aturam gajaha. Kuta karinya prabhavantya mochitum. Grahena pashyena vidatur avrito. Pyaham chatham yami param parayanam. Namami me gyataya aturam gaja. Kuta karinya pravanti mochitum. Grahena pashena vidatur avrito. Yaham chatham yami param parayanam. Namam ime gyataya aturam gaja. Kuta karinya prabhavanti mochitum. Grahena pashena vidatur avrito. Yaham chatham yami param parayanam. Aturam gaja. Kuta karinya pravanti mochitum. Grahena pashena vidatur avrito. Yaham adhidanta yame paramaturam. Namamime gyataya aturam gaja. Kuta karinya prabhavanti mochitum. Raina pashena vidatura vrito. Yahamyatam yami paramparayana. Gyataya aturam gaja. Kuta karinya pravanti mochitum. Rahena pashena vidatur avrito. Pyaham chatham yami paramparayanam. Na, not. Mam, me. Ime, all these. Gyataya, friends and relatives, the other elephants. Aturam, in my distress. Gaja, the elephant. Kutaha, how? Harinya, my wives. Prabhanti, are able. Mochitum, to deliver from this dangerous position. Grahena, by the crocodile. Pashena, by the network of ropes. Vidatu, of providence. Avrita, captured. Api, although I am in such a position. Aham, I. Cha, also. Tam, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yami, take shelter of. Param, who is transcendental. Parayanam, and who is the shelter of even the exalted demigods like Brahma and Shiva. Translation. The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of Providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile, and therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even of great personalities. Purport. This material world is described as padam padam yad vipadam, which means that at every step there is danger. A fool wrongly thinks that he is happy in this material world, but in fact he is not, for one who thinks that way is only illusion. At every step, at every moment, there is danger. In modern civilization, one thinks that if he has a nice home and a nice car, his life is perfect. In the Western countries, especially in America, it is very nice to possess a good car. But as soon as one is on the road, there is danger because at any moment an accident may take place and one will be killed. The record actually shows that so many people die in such accidents. Therefore, if we actually think that this material world is a very happy place, this is our ignorance. Real knowledge is that this material world is full of danger. We may struggle for existence as far as our intelligence allows, and may try to take care of ourselves. But unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, ultimately saves us from danger, our attempts will be useless. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishingha Nartasya chagadam udhanvati majato nao Taptasya ta prati vidirya ihanja seshtas Tavad vibhotanu pritam tvad upekshitanam Bhagavatam 7:9:19. We may invent so many ways to be happy or to counteract the dangers of this material world, but unless our attempts are sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they will never make us happy. Those who try to be happy without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are mudhas, rascals. Namam duskritano mudha prapadyante naradama. Those who are the lowest of men refuse to take to Krishna consciousness because they think that they will be able to protect themselves without Krishna's care. This is their mistake. The decision of the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was correct. In such a dangerous position, he sought shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budle Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavari Paschatya Deshatarine. This verse is a turning point for Gajendra. He was struggling now for 1,000 years. He wasn't able to eat. In this struggle, he was experiencing intense pain. His leg was being pulled by the crocodile. Crocodile is very aggressive, very angry, very powerful. He's being pulled into the water, and from behind, his friends were trying to pull him out. It was a tug of war, and he was losing. His friends couldn't help him. His wives were simply crying in distress. And in this verse, he finally realizes, I'm losing the battle. I'm getting weak. I'm in so much pain. I have no other shelter than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how did he come in this situation? He had been cursed by Agastya Muni to become a dull animal because he failed, although he was absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Lord, he failed to receive a Vaishnava and his disciples properly. So Agastya Muni in anger cursed him to become a dull elephant. At this point, because of the severe pain and the challenge that he was going through, he realized he was coming to the point of death. So he remembered the Supreme Lord because of all of the punya that he had performed in his previous life. He had a heritage. He was a great king. He was Indra, Indradumna Maharaj, who had brought Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra to this world by his devotion. So because of that previous wonderful devotional service, at this point when he was just about to die, he broke through the covering of ignorance in the animal body and he remembered the Supreme Lord. Now there's one more verse after this, and then the next chapter is beautiful prayers offered by Gajendra to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, supplicating himself in helplessness that you are the only person who can help me. I no longer want to live in this miserable, ignorant body of an elephant. Please take me. I have no one but you. So this helplessness, Prabhupada explains, this crocodile is the material existence that's dragging us all, and we're all losing the struggle. And unless we remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no way to be saved. So then Prabhupada goes on, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Madhya Leela, he describes that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India for preaching Sankirtan Yajna, there was a crocodile there. And that crocodile was the crocodile of Upasampradaya philosophies. Specifically, in the southern countries, there was Buddhism, Jainism, and Mayavad philosophy that had captured the people, and they were almost dead, just like a crocodile grabbed hold of Gajendra. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his disc of mercy, he was able to slash the mouth of these Upasampradayas and convert all of the people that he met into Vaishnavas. And to this day, Vaishnavism is very strong in the south because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Now we'll take this analogy one step further. That when Srila Prabhupada left America, left India to go to America, he suffered intensely on the 36-day trip. And there were 6-7 days when he actually had a heart attack. We'll go into detail of this later in the class. Now, these two heart attacks brought Prabhupada to the point where he didn't know whether he was going to live or die. And in total helplessness, he prayed to the Supreme Lord because he was only doing this in order to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. And that night in a dream, Prabhupada explained later to his disciples, he saw Krishna rowing the boat and smiling at him. And along with Krishna were all of his incarnations who were in the boat with him. And he was rowing the boat to America. So then Prabhupada realized that he would live. Now this crocodile of material existence has us all captured. And Srila Prabhupada, with his disc of causeless mercy, because you have to remember, Indradumna Maharaj He was a great devotee. He had the heritage of bhakti. And in southern India, yes, great devotees were there. They were strong as elephants. Just had to be sparked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he gave the holy name. But when Prabhupada went to the Western countries, there was no heritage of bhakti. There was no spiritual punya that we could draw on that gave us any right to become devotees of the Supreme Lord. This disc of causeless mercy was simply what Prabhupada did to bring us all out of the clutches of the crocodile of material existence. So when Prabhupada arrived in America for the first time at the Boston Harbor, still in this mood of total helplessness, he composed a beautiful poem in his native language, Bengali. And he shared that, he wrote that in his diary. He kept his diary locked up in a safe in New York Temple until 1972. And in 1972, he wrote to the temple president there, at that time it was Bali Mardan, and he told Bali Mardan, I have something in the safe in New York, and I want you to take it out and take personal care of it. So when Bali Mardan opened that diary, it was the Scindia Navigation Company diary. Prabhupada had used it as an appointment book before he started his journey. Once he started his journey, he was writing daily everything that was happening on the ship. So Bali Mardan, he had an assistant. His assistant's name was Jai Sachinandan. And Krishnamurti knows he was there at the time. I don't know if anyone else was there. So Jai Sachinandan, he was in the Sanskrit department of our ISKCON press, and he was attempting to learn Bengali. Bengali is such a sweet language. The nuances, we can never even translate properly into English. You'll see one word would take 5 words for us to try to understand in English. But Jai Sachinandan, he was trying. So Bali Mardan gave him this poem. Jai Sachinandan translated it. And Prabhupada appreciated, he accepted the translation. He made a few changes. He said that Ugrastani, when Prabhupada says, I've come to this terrible place. Ugrastan means terrible place. That was how Prabhupada saw America. He said that Dara. Dara means determination in my mind. So in that way, Prabhupada, he coached Jai Sachinandan how to translate this poem properly. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he predicted that people will learn Bengali just so they could understand the sweet music of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we're going to sing this now before we hear about Prabhupada's departure to America. So Srila Prabhupada, he met his spiritual master in 1922. And from that time, for over 40 years, Prabhupada was meditating, how is he going to execute the order of his spiritual master? That order was to preach Krishna consciousness in the English language. While he was in family life, he was encumbered. He couldn't practice so fully. But it had been 10 years since he left his family, took vanaprasth, now he's a sannyasi, and he was still meditating. How am I going to fulfill the instruction of my spiritual master? So Prabhupada felt the first thing he needed some ammunition. He needed Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So he translated the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In order to do that for the printing, because he was penniless, he was sannyasi living here in Vrindavan, he got donations, and one of the donations came from a very wealthy woman in Bombay. Her name was Sumati Morarji. She was the first woman who took up this navigation business, and she was very successful in her business. So after he printed the 3 volumes, next he needed money. Prabhupada said he was always meditating where he would go first. Most people wanted to go to London, but Prabhupada, he wasn't interested in going to London. He only wanted to go to New York. Sometimes he would even dream that he was in New York. If only he knew what New York was actually like, maybe he would have chosen another place. But from here, New York is, it seems to be, it's the Big Apple, it's the concrete jungle, it's the night that, it's the city that never sleeps. Everything is there in New York City. That's what people believe. So Prabhupada, he wanted to go to New York, and he was scheming what was the cheapest route to get there, whether he should go through Tokyo or whether he should go directly. He had no money for a plane ticket. It was 1965. So he decided he will go to Bombay and ask Sumati Maharaji for a free ticket on one of her steamships. Now, while Prabhupada was preaching here, he would sometimes go to Agra for programs. And he met one businessman. His name was Mr. Agarwal. And just as Prabhupada always did whenever he met people, he told him that he wanted to go to America to preach the Vaishnav culture. So Mr. Agarwal, unfortunately, his son was captured by the crocodile there in America. He was an electrical engineer, and he married an American woman. So he lived there in America, in a place called Butler, Pennsylvania. That's about 9 hours from New York City. So Mr. Agarwal, he volunteered, well, my son can sponsor you. Because in those days, it was very difficult to get out of India. You had to have a sponsor to go to America. And that means that sponsor had to show that he had enough money in his bank account that he could take care of you directly. Because you weren't allowed to bring money out of India. You had to go penniless. Prabhupada was already penniless. But now he had a sponsor. So he went to Bombay to try to sell more books to make money. He was unsuccessful. When he came back to his Chippewada room, there was a letter waiting for him from the Ministry of External Affairs. When he opened that letter, there was a sponsorship form. Gopal Agarwal had sponsored him so that when he came to America, he would pay for all of his expenses. So Prabhupada was, he took these two things, he already had his passport, he took his sponsorship, he immediately went back to Bombay to show Sumati Maharaji. Now, Mrs. Maharaji, she was in no way interested in sending Prabhupada to America. She felt he would die there. He was so old, it was cold, the people were not so cooperative in America. She felt, what could he possibly accomplish? An old man, he'll probably die, he'll never come back. So she wanted him to complete his Srimad Bhagavatam and do something powerful in Delhi or Bombay or Vrindavan. But Prabhupada was adamant. He put up his hand. He said, don't worry. I must have this ticket. You give me this ticket. So, although it was against her desire, she granted a free ticket to Prabhupada that was to leave from Calcutta on August 13th. Now, Prabhupada, he wasn't prepared for the trip because he had no money. It was going to be a long journey, 36 days. So Sumati Maharaji, out of her kindness, she had her secretary, Mr. Chokshi, arrange everything for Prabhupada. He took Prabhupada to shops and he bought him warm clothes, 250 rupees worth. That was a lot of money in those days. Prabhupada had him print a little pamphlet with the Sikshastakam in it as a welcome goodwill pamphlet for the Skindia Steamship Company. So Prabhupada had 500 of those. And in that way, everything was getting ready. Mr. Chokshi even drove him to the train station. And Prabhupada left from Bombay for Calcutta 2 weeks before his ship was supposed to leave. When he arrived in Calcutta, although he was born there and raised there, his whole family was there, because he had taken sannyas, He didn't contact his family. He didn't go to stay with them. His son, Vrindavan Chandra, contacted him. His sister contacted him, Pishima. But other than that, he wasn't going to take part again in his family relations. Prabhupada had written a poem called Vrindavan Bhajan. And in that poem, Prabhupada reflected that where are all my loved ones now? Where are my elders? Now, who will look after me? Who can I go to see? And Prabhupada said, now, all of my beloved family members, they're just a list of names. So that's the way it was for Prabhupada. He had no one really in Calcutta who he could contact. So what he did was, when he was preaching in Lucknow once at the governor's house, he met one flamboyant kirtan singer. His name was Shishir Bhattacharya. He contacted him. He wasn't a friend, he wasn't a relative, he wasn't a godbrother. He was just an acquaintance. And Prabhupada was scheming how he could use these 2 weeks for preaching. So they made a team. Shishir Bhattacharya, he would arrange house programs, he would sing bhajans, and then Prabhupada would lecture. And Shishir Bhattacharya, he didn't even agree with Prabhupada's philosophy. He would say, Swamiji, why are you saying like this? I think it should be like this. But Prabhupada would argue with him, what do you know? I am simply speaking from Bhagavatam. This is not my opinion. This is what Krishna says. So they had a wonderful relationship like this. And Mr. Bhattacharya tried his best to advertise that Prabhupada was going to America. He took him to all the leading newspapers. Prabhupada had one photo, just like you can see the photo in Prabhupada's house. One photo, which was his passport photo. They made some copies. And Mr. Bhattacharya took him all over to the Statesman, Amrita Bazaar, all the different big newspaper companies. They listened, but nobody printed anything. Finally, one Bengali daily, Basumati, they printed something about Prabhupada. And then it was time to go. So Prabhupada, he took his luggage, he boarded the Jaladuta, and he started off. And from that time, Prabhupada made entries into this diary, the Jaladuta diary. Now, the first thing you do when you leave Calcutta is you enter the Bay of Bengal. And immediately, because Prabhupada had never gone on a big ship before, immediately Prabhupada saw that this Bay of Bengal, it looks like a plate that's only 40 square miles. But actually, it's endless. And he compared this to Maya. He said, we're thinking that it's just one little thing, but out of illusion, we don't realize that this Maya is endless. And once we become entangled in it, how will we get out? So this Bay of Bengal, Prabhupada experienced for the first time, because when you're on a ship, when you're on land, you have your 2 feet and you stay in one place. When you're on a ship, there's no fixity. You're always moving back and forth. And because of that, you become dizzy. And because of the dizziness, you become nauseous. You can't eat anything. And even if you vomit, the nausea and the dizziness stays because you can't keep your balance. And then, because of that, because you can't eat, because you're dizzy, because you're nauseous, you become dehydrated, you become sick. So Prabhupada was experiencing all that. He couldn't sleep at night. He couldn't eat. He was becoming weaker and weaker at the Bay of Bengal. Finally, the ship stopped in Ceylon, what was then called Ceylon, that's Sri Lanka. And Mr. Pandya, the captain of the ship, arranged for Prabhupada to see the city. Prabhupada noticed that in Ceylon, it was the same culture, exactly the same culture as India, just the people were not so good looking, he noted in his diary. He said, but artificially, Sri Lanka, Ceylon, and India have been separated by politics. Same culture. So then, after this one stop in Ceylon, they went down into the Indian Ocean and came to the other side of India, to Cochin. Now, all around Cochin, there are many, many islands. So they couldn't enter the port. They were about 4 miles, that's like something like 6 kilometers, stationed outside of the port. And it was there that Prabhupada celebrated Janmashtami with the whole crew of the Jaladuta. He gave a lecture, he distributed prasadam, he gave out his booklets. And the next day, although Prabhupada doesn't mention it, we know, that was Prabhupada's 70th birthday. At Cochin, all of Prabhupada's 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatams were loaded onto the boat. So now Prabhupada felt secure. He was going with his books, which is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, their Shabda Brahman. He was going with his books now to America. But he had to cross 3 more oceans, 3 more seas. The first one was the Arabian Sea. In the Arabian Sea, Prabhupada experienced intense seasickness. He became so sick that this is where he had his heart attack. 2 heart attacks right in a row. And for 7 days, he simply drew a line through his diary because he was too sick to enter anything. He thought he was going to die. And that was where he had his dream that Krishna was rowing the boat. Finally, on the other side of the Arabian Sea is Egypt. He reached Port Said, and then from Said he went through the Suez Canal. Suez Canal, on the other side, is the Mediterranean Sea. That's between Europe and Africa. Prabhupada passed through there. He was recovering from his heart attacks. And then he reached the Rock of Gibraltar. That's the rock in between Europe and Africa. All the boats pass by there. And then they enter the Atlantic Ocean. Now, this was August, September. Anyone who's from America knows that September is hurricane season. That's when all the hurricanes come in from the Caribbean, from the Atlantic, and they do so much damage in America. But Mr. Pandya, he said that he had never seen the Atlantic Ocean so placid. It was like a lake. No waves, no disturbance, no fog, nothing. And he attested that to Prabhupada's presence on the ship. So Mr. Pandya and his wife, they said, "Swamiji, you just go to America, and then when our ship comes back, you come back with us, because we want such a safe journey on the way back too." So the Atlantic Ocean, Prabhupada, he was taking solace. He missed Vrindavan. He missed his homeland so much. So he took solace in the nectarian reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then, just as he was a few days before he was going to reach America, he started to read the prayers of the Nagapatnis and the supplication of Kaliya when he realized what a fool he was, how he surrendered to Krishna. So finally, the boat arrived in America. It didn't go to New York first. It landed in another big city, one of the oldest cities in America, called Boston. Now in Boston, Prabhupada, they wouldn't allow the people on the ship to come directly into America. The customs officers came onto the ship, stamped their passports, and then Mr. Pandya and Prabhupada went in to see the town. It was at this time when Prabhupada saw the degraded nature of the Americans and the city itself that he wrote this beautiful poem called Markine Bhagavad Dharma. Markina means America in Bengali. So, Boston, there's a little analogy. While studying the history, Prabhupada's arriving here, and the significance of arriving in the Boston Harbor. Boston is the place where the American Revolution was sparked. And how that happened was, there was a group called the Sons of Liberty. And these were all young men in their 20s and even younger. And they wanted freedom, independence. So what they did was, it's very similar to the Indian, the revolution here against the British. They made a peaceful protest. But despite the peaceful protest, the British, there was something called the Boston Massacre. Just like you have the Jallianwala Bagh Massacre, thousands of people were killed there by the British. So in Boston also there was a massacre. And this, of course, infuriated the American people. So what the Sons of Liberty did was, they made a plan. They would dress up as Indians. And they would go on to the British ships. American Indians. Well, we're American Indians, right? Well, they thought that the Indians were Indians, right? Natives. They dressed up as Indians. This is an analogy. Dressed up as Indians, they went onto the British boats, and they did one thing. They dumped 45 tons of tea into the Boston Harbor. They rejected tea. So, this was their way of protesting. And this was what sparked the American Revolution. Now, in America, we don't have many heroes because the culture is quite brutal. And our heroes aren't always very dharmic as they are here in India. But there's one hero, anyone who went to school in America has heard of someone named Paul Revere. He was the messenger. So it was he who warned all the people about the influx and how the war was going to start. So I just feel that this is an appropriate analogy because Prabhupada was the messenger. And these Sons of Liberty, they were the devotees that Prabhupada, he made them here, all young men, and young women, of course. The women also took part, but behind the scenes. And this started not the American Revolution. This started the spiritual revolution. And Prabhupada was that messenger. So when Prabhupada arrived in Boston, he wasn't aware of this history, probably. But we can understand that now is coming a new revolution with the appearance of Prabhupada in America. So Prabhupada, he was aiming for New York. He went to New York the next day. The boat took him to New York. There was no immigration, nothing. He passed under two beautiful bridges. Maybe that was Verrazano and Brooklyn Bridge. And then he reached the pier at Brooklyn. Brooklyn is where our big temple is. And then he got off of the ship. When Prabhupada got off of the ship, he was penniless. He was in his dhoti. He was Paka Vaishnava. And he didn't know whether to turn left or to turn right. He had no idea what to do now that he was in America, in New York. So Gopal Agarwal, he arranged something called Traveler's Aid. He had a host meet Prabhupada at the pier, and he took him to a special place in New York City called Port Authority Bus Terminal. Now later, simply because Prabhupada touched his lotus feet at Port Authority Bus Terminal, hundreds and hundreds of devotees were created from this Port Authority Bus Terminal, because this is the central terminal where all the people come when they want to take buses to here and there all over America. So the devotees used to do Sankirtan there, and they brought so many devotees there because Prabhupada blessed that place. Prabhupada also went from the pier to Port Authority Bus Terminal, and from there he was put on a bus 9 hours overnight from 5 in the evening. He reached Butler, Pennsylvania, 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was Gopal Agarwal waiting to receive him. And it was there in Butler that Prabhupada began his preaching. It was a start for him. It was just a small town, but Prabhupada noticed that there were many churches there. So Mrs. Sally Agarwal, she arranged preaching programs for Prabhupada at the YMCA, at the churches, wherever she could. She used her intelligence. And Prabhupada, in this way, began his preaching in America. It was just a spark. But Prabhupada wanted to go to New York. He felt this was the place that he's going to make his international society. So when Prabhupada later he was speaking to his disciples. He told them, "I was useless. I was just loitering in New York, walking on the streets." So once there was a man, Prabhupada told this story, and in one place he saw a wire, and over lying in another place he saw a piece of bamboo, and then he saw an empty dry shell of a squash. So the man was intelligent. He took the squash, he made that into a sound chamber, he took the bamboo and fixed it onto the squash, and then he took the wire and connected the three things. And with that, he made a stringed instrument, and he imitated, tin, 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 tin. He made music. So he said, "I did the same thing. I was loitering in one place. I picked up someone from here. I picked up someone from there. I brought them together, and I made the International String Band." That was another name Prabhupada gave for International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He said, "We were all useless, but when we all came together, then we could do Krishna's service in ISKCON." Thank you very much.